realize people would get so excited about a goat kissing. For those of you who... Steve got way too excited about it. In fact, we'll have a elders meeting here after church. People came out of the woodwork Wednesday night. For those of you who don't know what happened, if we reached 120 at Vacation Bible School and filled our jar, or half filled our jar with change for special kids, a goat had the privilege of kissing me. So I thought we would raise the money because kids were bringing packets of money every night. And I said, that jar, in fact, the jar got almost full. Half full was the goal, and we almost filled the jar, but I didn't think they'd get to 120. And I knew when people I hadn't seen in 6 years were walking in the door Wednesday night, it was time to pucker up. So we had a great time and learned some things. I appreciate all our teachers. I got to hear Jeff Brown in our adult class. He just did an outstanding job and learned a lot of things. It was just an excellent time. So appreciate that opportunity to be together. This next to tonight, I'll just kind of, Todd, I'm going to make some announcements. I will not. I'm not doing Wednesday night's menu item, Todd. That's yours. But tonight will be our home Bible studies. And tonight, Rob's group, our group, will be here, but we'll hope you'll be involved in that. If you've not been involved, those are really a great time to study Scripture together and pray together and to get to know each other a little better in a different way. So hope you'll be involved in that. If you don't have a group, come be with us tonight at 6 here in the auditorium. We'll probably meet in the library. And if we overrun the library, don't worry. We'll go to the fellowship hall. Or come back in here, but to come and be a part of that. Next Sunday is a busy Sunday. We'll have our morning assembly, as we normally do, 9 and 10 o'clock. We'll invite all of you to come. And then we're going to have a carry-in lunch or a potluck lunch next Sunday after our morning service is concluded. We'll eat here together. And then at 1 o'clock, we'll move down here. And at 1, we'll be at Las Casas and sing with the Las Casas congregation. In the afternoon, and then next Sunday night at 6 o'clock, we'll go to Wilson County and sing with the Vine congregation and Salem and Watertown. We all get together, but it'll be hosted at Vine, and then we'll have a fellowship meal with them after that. So lots of opportunity to sing in fellowship next Sunday, and hope that you'll be a part of that and come and be together. And enjoy singing and visiting with some of our other congregations next week. I'm going to read a lot this morning, which is a little unusual, but I really think because we're going to read Scripture, not reading any books, just reading Scripture. Because I think it's important that we read the Word. And I think as we look at what happened in the synagogues, they did a lot of Scripture reading. We see that through the New Testament. Historically, we know they read. So I'm going to read a lot of Scripture. I'm going to try my very best to restrain from a lot of commentary on what I'm reading, although there are lots of points in the readings that I'm going to do this morning that we could spend a whole sermon on. I'm not going to do that this morning. I have one point this morning. There are multiples in these. You may get them. Something may stand out to you this morning, and you can read and study these. We may talk about them some more. But the one point I want us to get this morning is Jesus matters. Jesus matters. Let me give you the background about why I think that this is an important lesson, that Jesus matters. There's always, I guess, or at least in my lifetime and for most of our history, a push toward almost a universalism. And again, the Scripture is very clear. Even in the passages we're going to read this morning, John, who we'll read in a few moments, makes it very clear how large is the sacrifice of Jesus. It's large enough for the whole world, right? John makes that abundantly clear in a verse that's a favorite of ours, and I've shared this with you before for young people, because I don't think this goes on anymore. I don't know. I don't watch enough pro athletic events to know. But in the 70s and 80s and maybe even into the 90s, you remember the guy with the curly fro hair that would always shake his hair and always had the sign that said what? John 3:16. John 3:16. And almost every, and there had to almost be multiple individuals doing this, because almost every, especially pro football and I guess others, at some point in the camera, the guy would shake with the sign and we'd see John 3:16, which says, and most of us are familiar, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him might not perish, but have everlasting life," right? That it's just, for whosoever. But the key to that is, it's really the point here, whoever believes on Jesus, that Jesus matters. And faith in Jesus matters. All right? It's not just being good people. And there's this thought that, and it's important for us to deal with it, because it's really an issue that the Apostle Paul dealt with in the first century, and Jesus is dealing with in the passage we're going to read, and John is dealing with. But you remember, and we talk about this a lot, so for those of you who are with us regularly, you'll know this. Paul says, "I am a prisoner for what reason?" Remember? Paul says, "I'm a prisoner for the resurrection." For the resurrection. Because the resurrection is a defining moment in the life of Christ. Right? Paul makes the argument to the Corinthians that if Christ wasn't raised from the dead, there is no resurrection, and that our faith is in vain and we're among all men to be most pitied. Why is that critical? This one, that Jesus is raised from the dead, and knowing that and believing that is critical to faith and being pleasing to God. The message of Jesus and of the apostles and of the church is not Jesus the prophet. It's not Jesus the master teacher. It's not Jesus the good man. It's not Jesus the moral leader. It is Jesus the Son of God that taketh away the sins of the world. It is Jesus who lived and died on a cross as a payment for our sin, and that God has raised him from the dead, and it's on believing in Jesus whom God sent. Because that's why Paul says, "I'm a prisoner for the resurrection," because that was the crux of the matter. The people of the first century couldn't deny that Jesus lived, right? Let's understand why this argument is so important, why Jesus is so important, and how this spreads out to us today. There was no denying that Jesus existed. I mean, we're at the same time of Jesus, or within 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Now, we can look in the historical characters, individuals of the United States, and we might debate, discuss. Historians, Roy might talk about the good points, the bad points, and we might disagree, but none of us deny that George Washington lived, or Thomas Jefferson, or Alexander Hamilton, and the list goes on, or Martin Luther King Jr., or whomever. We might discuss and debate whether we agree with the Adams or the Hamiltons or those individuals and whether they were good or bad. We can have that discussion. But we know they existed. The same thing's true in the New Testament. In the first century, there's no denial Jesus existed. But the question then comes, who is Jesus? Is he a prophet? Is he just a good teacher? Is he a crazy man with a messianic complex? I mean, it was a discussion. But that he existed was not. And so then the question came down to resurrection. Because if God raised him from the dead, it brings validity to everything he taught and what his followers said about him. This is the Son of God, that God has raised him from the dead. And if he did not, who was he? just another man, maybe good, maybe not, depending on your point of view. But the scripture doesn't say Jesus was just a good man, or just a wise man, or just a prophet, but that he is the Son of God, and that matters. Not only that he was, but our faith in that matters. Our faith in Jesus matters. It's not just, well, he did that, and whether I understand or not, but we are called. We're called as people of God to believe in Jesus and understand who he was and what he did for us. Jesus matters. The first passage that I want to read, this is a fairly lengthy teaching of Jesus. It's not as long as the Sermon on the Mount, but it's a fairly lengthy discussion of Jesus. And this is where Jesus sends out the 12 apostles, where he sends them out to carry the message of the kingdom. That's the backdrop of this. And what I want you to see in this, because I'm not going to stop all the time, although I want to, is that this message of Jesus and the kingdom, and this is prior to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, but it is this message that the kingdom is at hand, that the kingdom is passing by, that there are going to be those who deny that. And not only will they not believe it, they will be antagonistic toward that message. Okay? This is where Jesus will say to them, you'll be taken before councils and synagogues. You'll be persecuted for this. You'll be called sons of the devil because I've been called sons of the devil. That the discussion of Jesus and the kingdom is divisive. And Jesus will say that. That message is divisive, but it is fundamental and that it is important. Let's read from Matthew. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brothers will betray brother to death and father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her father or mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who comes, who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Now I want to read from the letter of 1 John. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and even now many Antichrists have come. All right, let's pause right there. We're going to have to take a break. Talk about the Antichrist. Because what do we normally, if something comes on television, either in an ad, in a show, and it talks about the Antichrist, what's it all, usually always referring to? End times, right? Eschatology. The end of all things, that the Antichrist has come, setting up the kingdom. But John makes it very clear, and Hunter read that for us. Who is the Antichrist? We know who the Antichrist is, and we're going to find here that John says, and the Antichrist has already come. The Antichrist has already come. There are Antichrists, it's not one individual. There are Antichrists who have already come. There are Antichrists who are among us. And who are they? Anyone who denies Christ. It's not that complicated. Don't want it to be spooky and scary this morning. It's anyone who denies Christ is the Antichrist. Okay? Anyone who denies Christ is the Antichrist. That's why, because I say there's just one point this morning, but it's really important because it's challenged in our society regularly, even among believers. And that is that Jesus matters. And not only does Jesus matter, but our faith in Jesus matters. It matters because those who deny who Jesus is are the Antichrist. Does it say that they deny who God is? No. Does he say people who have no faith at all? No, because the concept often is and espoused societally is this. Well, everybody has their own religion, and as long as they're sincere and faithful to their own religion, isn't that good? Isn't that sufficient? Now, we'll see that in different forms, but it's prevalent. And I understand the motivation behind it. If somebody's sincerely good and doing what they know, isn't that what they can do? Well, what's our role? It's to share the good news of Jesus, right? It's our role because it is good news. And it matters. Our belief in Jesus or our denial of Jesus matters. It matters. And not only our faith matters, but our willingness to stand up for Jesus matters. That's important. Because I got to go back and talk about this for a minute because it's part of our main point. I'm trying to be good. Whoever confesses me before men, what does Jesus say? Not whoever confesses God, not whoever confesses doing good things, but whoever confesses me, Jesus says, I'll confess before my Father, right? But whoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father. Not only believing who Jesus is, understanding who Jesus is, but willing to stand up to the persecution. Because Jesus said, he told those disciples, and he tells us what? Having faith in Jesus and confessing our faith and following his commands will bring persecution. Because if the people said that Jesus was of the devil, remember that? They accused Jesus of being of the devil. How did he and his disciples cast out demons? Remember that? By the power of Satan. And that's where Jesus makes a statement. Satan doesn't cast out Satan. A house divided against itself can't stand, right? It's not by the power of Satan. But if Jesus himself was accused of being Satan or of Satan, he said, so will my followers. And it will even bring division among families. There'll be even those in families who don't believe in Jesus. And this will cause problems even to the point of betraying each other. So the Antichrist is coming. In fact, the Antichrist has come, and it's that the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Again, not denying that Jesus existed. It's not a denial that Jesus lived. And it's not the acceptance that Jesus was just a good man, a great teacher, a prophet sent from God, but that Jesus is the anointed one of God, the Messiah. Because that's the message of the kingdom, right? That the kingdom is coming, and who is the king? Jesus. Jesus is the king. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Who is the liar? Whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. So where does this come from? It's not a rhetorical question. I want us to think about this. Where does this come from? Now put your scripture together. Where does this denial of Jesus is the Christ come from? Make you think. It's not in the scripture. So y'all can be flipping ahead. It's not. I mean, it is in the scripture, but it's not right here. It's from Satan. Because Satan is the father of what? All lies. That is scripture, right? It comes from Satan. The denial that Jesus is the Christ is from Satan because John tells us specifically it's a lie, right? And that Satan is the father of liars and the father of all lies. And Satan's job, his goal, and I think job is probably not the right, his obsession. That's better than a job, right? Because we all know with our jobs, someday in a job we do great, some days we're not so excited about it, right? But our obsession, something that we are all into, we're pretty much all into all the time, right? Yeah. And so Satan's obsession is the drawing us away from the truths of God. And one of those is this denial of who Jesus is. If he can confuse us, because I'm going to tell you, millions, maybe billions of folks would accept the fact that Jesus was. Okay? Many of those would accept that Jesus was a significant figure. Maybe just historically, maybe just culturally. But many would admit, believe, that Jesus was significant religiously, spiritually. But only in the role of a prophet. Just like we would all say Elijah was a significant individual, but not the Messiah, not the Christ, right? That the prophets were significant. That David was significant. That Abraham most certainly was significant. That Moses was significant. But none of them were, are, or claim to be the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One. That's who Jesus is, God's Son, the Anointed. Not just a significant individual in the service of God, but the Messiah. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. The significance that Jesus is sent from God, is God in the flesh, and to deny one is not to have the other. Jesus matters. Jesus matters. We have the hope and the promise of eternal life because of Jesus. Because of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us. But not only did Jesus make that sacrifice and that sacrifice is universally large, but it is significant, important, and necessary that we understand who Jesus is. Is and that we acknowledge who Jesus is. That Jesus is the Son of God, who is the Anointed One, He is the Christ, and He is Lord. That Jesus is going to return. Jesus is going to return and take those of us who are heirs of eternal life to be with Him and the Father for all of eternity. He wasn't just a wise man, not just a good man, not just a crazy man, but was God's Son, who was God in the flesh, and that God raised Him from the dead. And so that's why the gospel is the good news. It is the good news of Jesus. And it's important that we spread the good news to all the world. Jesus' great commission before His ascension was to go into all the world, right? Preaching the gospel, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This good news of who Jesus is, because Jesus matters. Jesus matters. There's no other way to the Father except through the Son. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus tells us. Because Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paved the road with His sacrifice. If you're not a child of God today, we would encourage you to come. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? And in believing that, are you willing to confess that before men and to accept Jesus' Lordship, to repent of sin and be cleansed in the waters of baptism, to come in contact with that blood that cleanses us of all unrighteousness? For those of us who are children of God, whether corporately or individually, it is through Jesus and through His blessed name that we have access to the Father, that we can go to the Father in prayer and know that God answers those prayers, prayers of forgiveness, prayers of strength, prayers for hope. If you need to come today, would you do that while we stand and sing?